FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450. Rutherford County's place to talk. Your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
I know you're out there somewhere.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. Here it is, a cool morning. And when I say cool morning, I do mean cool. It is only 28 degrees right now. Anthony Tuggle is with us, and we're going to talk about the fun of doing things outdoors this morning. And if you have any questions or comments, give us a shout. 893-1450. 893-1450. The woolly worms are all white today because they're snowy frozen. They're cold out there. 28 is cold, Anthony. For some reason, I don't hear you. I'm not sure what is wrong with that. Why don't you move over to another microphone? That one, for some reason, is not living as it should have.
How about this one, Bart? Does it work better?
That's much better. That's much better.
Let me get my headset on so I can hear.
Okay. Anthony Tuggle's with us this morning from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. And we're talking lawns and gardens today, along with lots of other things. A lot of folks are getting, from what I understand, real living Christmas trees that are balled and bundled so that they can plant them after it's over. Now, for people who are thinking about doing that, and maybe they have a tradition. We used to have a tradition of doing that. That tradition lasted for about 3 years. And I will have to say that every one of those trees seemed to have lasted. The ones that, you know, that you'd plant that you really didn't have that strong of a feeling if it lasted or not, like an oak tree or something, those would die. The Christmas trees that we'd stick out in the dead of winter, obviously, they would last. When is there a better time? You don't want to keep it in the house too long. When should you get those trees to plant?
Well, usually, if you go any of those live trees like that has a root ball you want to replant, usually, I mean, you can get them early, but really you want to keep them in the house no more than about 2 weeks. So kind of, that should be long enough to keep them in the house. It could be kind of difficult to water those root balls and keep them moist. And also the air in the house will have a tendency to dry those trees out even more. So, and then you have lights and things on them as well will cause them to dry out. So really, you want to keep them in the house no more than 2 weeks. Then when you bring it out of the house, kind of transition it from your warm house maybe to a garage or a shed or something before putting it out into the cold air.
So okay. So you let it have too. A buffer before and after.
Yes. So about 2 weeks is not long enough. You want to do that.
2 weeks on either side.
No more than two weeks in the house.
Okay. So those are things to keep in mind. So if you're wanting to take it down right before Thanksgiving, you don't want to put it up much more earlier than the 15th
About a week before Christmas, usually about a week after Christmas, about as long as you want to keep those in there.
Okay. Well, let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Anthony Tuggle. How are you today?
Doing good, thank you.
Great.
So I want to ask Anthony, why does he think sometimes the rose bushes, sometimes they'll live through the winter, sometimes they won't, and seem like the yellow rose is more tougher than the red roses. And you remember the winter, not this winter, but because this winter wasn't that cold, but the winter before last, like 2010 going into 2011, it was pretty cold. And my yellow rose bushes survived, red ones didn't. Now I'm going to ask him, how come he thinks that the... why is the yellow rose bushes stronger than the red ones?
That's a good question. So you're saying that the yellow ones do last, or your experience is the yellow ones do last longer?
Yeah, And even the white roses do too. And seem like they can take a tough winter harder than better than a red rose does.
What about that, Anthony? Have you had other people make those comments? Thank you for calling, by the way. Do the yellow ones have a better record of living?
No, that's my kind of first time hearing that. Usually they all are pretty doable plants. I'm just kind of curious how long were those plants out when, or were they in different location? Plants that any plants, including roses, if they're in a planted late May, or either they're in a real shaded area or in an area that may, mm-hmm. a low spot that may get a whole little water in colder winter, those roots may have a tendency to freeze and things like that in certain situations. When we think about our landscape and think about the climate, I always tell people when they think about planting plants, all around their house there are different microclimates, microenvironments that affect plants differently. So I'm not sure where he put those at, how different were those areas in the time he planted them, how healthy they were, went into the winter time frame. So I'm really not sure, and I don't know, but really, I mean, most plants should survive if they're properly planted, properly maintained, especially going into the winter healthy. We really like plants going into their dormant season healthy, and also mulching around them at this time of year would also help keep the soil a little bit warm around those roots on those plants.
You know, maybe there's somebody else who has had a similar experience with yellow roses or white roses as compared to the red rose. Have you found that you've had more luck with them, that they're maybe hardier? 893-1450, like to get you weighing in on that one. 893-1450. And do roses, do certain roses work better in certain climates than others, or is a rose a rose a rose?
I think they all work pretty well. They really like sun, especially for the flowers, and none of them like low area where water going to get around the stay around the root zone. And especially any plant doesn't like water. That's frozen water or submerged in water. I mean, there are a few plants that like water, but typically roses and plants like that don't like wet feet, what we like to call it. So it's an area that may be a little bit low. And we think about those low areas, an area that may hold water more. I really think about plants close to the house that are real close to downspouts.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of think about those spots kind of tendency to stay a little bit more moist just because of where they're located at. And if it's a little bit lower, and if it's real cold or real bad winter, and we had some rain or some snow and it freezes, then obviously the root zone of those plants going to freeze a little bit easier.
Now, if you have, say, a rose bush that you're really proud of and it has done well, do you prune it down to just 5 or 6 inches from the ground when winter comes in? Like, I would guess if you looked around, 28 degrees, you could consider that winter is here.
pretty wintery.
would you prune it down to about 6 inches from the ground, maybe put some mulch or you know, something on top of it to protect it, and it will grow back in the spring? Is that what you do, or do you just leave it up tall?
Bart, I mean, I wouldn't prune it that low unless it's really in front of a low window or something. You just have some maintenance prunings, cut them back. You, depending on the type of rose we have, especially some of the knockout roses, climbing roses, or the tree roses, they have a tendency to grow at different rates. And usually they grow anywhere. It's kind of hard to kind of tell people how low to prune it. Personally, I don't cut mine back. I know you cut them around back about three feet height, and they ain't grow another 3 or 4 feet. So really, you just kind of have to navigate where they're at and what if they've grown enough to really cover a window, or if they're close to the house, or kind of what the purpose you have for those roses and things like that. So typically, I wouldn't cut them back all the way to the ground, but a healthy plant shouldn't hurt. And speaking of pruning, it's a great time to prune this time of year. You know, it's 28 degrees, I believe, in that time frame, but the wood shouldn't be frozen on those plants. So anytime those plants are in a dormant state, which we can look and see most of our plants are, even our evergreen plants are in a semi-dormant state, maybe, and we can go in and prune those plants this time of year without a problem.
All righty. Our phone number is 893-1450 if you have a lawn or garden question or a comment. 893-1450. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Anthony. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you.
My question is concerning strawberries. Mr. Fuller, could you tell me, have I waited too long to transplant a strawberry from a shaded area in the summertime to a more sunny area at this time of the year, or should I wait till spring? Thank you, and I'll wait for your response.
Okay. Thanks for calling. Now he's wanting to transplant it now. The plant's out there. Is it too late to transplant it?
Well, yes. And yes to his question. I'd really like to get it planted a little bit earlier than now, probably late September, October time frame would be a great time to really move that plant. But if you're really going to move it now or the spring time frame, I'd rather you go ahead and move it now versus the spring, because usually they'll start coming back out and trying to produce in the spring. So now will be a better time than spring if you're going to retransplant that plant. Okay. So I would go ahead and do it now, even though we are later than we want, but it's better than the spring.
Okay, this is better than spring.
Yeah.
Any particular things he should keep in mind while transplanting?
I mean, it's not going to do a lot of growing now anyway. It's going it's going to be kind of just a little bit idle, so it's not going to be doing a whole lot of growing. But, no, I wouldn't probably – I think the temperature's supposed to get up in the next few days around 60 degrees, I believe. So biggest thing is go ahead and have your holes pre-dug, and when you move those plants, they are not in the air and open. For a long period of time to dry the root zone of those plants out as you move them. So that's be the only concern. Either dig or a larger root ball around those plants as you move them would kind of help a little bit better as well.
All righty. 893-1450 is our number. We're talking lawns and gardens, things you can be doing right now. We've talked a little about replanting Christmas trees. We've talked about roses. We've talked about strawberries. Let's touch a little on some of the plants that people seem to get during the holiday season, the Christmas cactus, the all the different plants, poinsettias that people get. Those take you have to take care of them in a different way, don't you? They're sort of temperamental.
They are, Bart. And usually a lot of people, I mean, we see lots of poinsettias out now, and people are purchasing them. And the biggest thing about a lot of them, really, the bigger thing I see with most of the plants is that people have a tendency to put them in their homes around vents where we got heat coming out of or things like that. So really you want to, excuse me, make sure they stay away from vents that are blowing warm air out. Also away from doors that when you, even though the house is warm, and again, they get a draft from the outside doors and things like that. So you really want to avoid those couple of things. Make sure they're in an area they can really get some light, whether it's artificial light or either from a window and things like that. They're too close to the window. Usually the temperature closest to the window do have a little bit, they're all a little bit cooler, so we really want to kind of pay attention to that as well. So, but those are the big things people really want to think about for as those house plants, especially those Christmas cactuses and also those poinsettias and things. They will have a tendency to make dry out a little bit faster. So avoid trying to overwater them. Just kind of watch and monitor them and see how, depending on your location in the home, how you're going to manage that plant for as watering and things like that.
So avoid outside breezes, cold air from the outside directly hitting them, like from a door that opens. Let them have plenty of natural light if you can, but don't get it too close to the window because of the cold air. Sounds almost like one of those grow lights might be better for them.
Yeah, that would be great. But most people don't have those in their home. And usually people really, the biggest concern with a lot of people, especially with poinsettias, they really try to keep them year-round. And once the winter season, to move them outside and try to bring them back in and put them in a closet and things like that. Those are very difficult to do. So we think about that poinsettias plant. I think it's a native of Mexico and things like that. So it really like warm climate. So if it's close to a doorway, getting those drafts and things like that, it's not going to do as well.
All right.
Because that's one thing with the native of the where that plant there is from. But really, most of them with some very little TLC can't make it through the Christmas season.
Well, let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Anthony Tuggle. How are you today? Hello there.
Good morning.
Well, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. I wanted to ask Anthony about my Thanksgiving cactus. It has pink buds on it, and I haven't fed it the whole year. I didn't think about it. I wondered if I could feed it now, if it would help it.
And it has pink buds on it.
Thanksgiving cactus, it blooms a pink blossom, where the Christmas cactus blooms a red one.
Yes, ma'am.
And the little pink buds are there, and I thought, I haven't even given it any kind of fertilizer, and I wondered if I could when it was just about to bloom.
What about that, Anthony?
You can. It won't hurt, but usually those plants doesn't need a lot of extra nutrients. So if you don't do it, it should be just fine. And I probably wouldn't since it's already starting to bloom and flower. If you do...
Okay, well, I was afraid your mite would burn it up or something, so I'll just leave it alone and watch it, I guess.
Yes, ma'am. They don't need a lot.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling. Boy, that's the kind of plant to have. She hadn't done anything with it in a year, and it's doing what Mother Nature wants it to do. Tell you what, let's do. Let's check on the traffic and weather. We'll be back and take some more of your calls. We're talking lawns and gardens. We're talking about holiday plants. 893-1450 is our number. 893-1450. Anthony Tuggle with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service.
I got a radio that's kind of possessed.
It's coast to coast AM overnight every night.
You have a possessed radio?
Yeah.
WGNS, Murfreesboro.
It's the year-end celebration at Ford of Murfreesboro on Broad at Northfield. Celebrate with a 2013 Ford Fiesta, a 2013 Ford Focus with 0% financing, a 2013 Ford Fusion, a Ford Escape, or the best-selling truck, the Ford F-150. Ford is America's best-selling brand, and now it's time to celebrate with a great deal at Ford of Murfreesboro. Visit them online at fordofmurfreesboro.com. Again, that's fordofmurfreesboro.com at the intersection of Broad and Northfield.
For over 130 years, dreams have come true at Bell Jewelers. Come by and let Lisa, Greg, or anyone at Bell Jewelers show you the Bellatoire Fun Fashion Color Line. You get a free Bellatoire necklace with a purchase of $300 or more now through the end of the year. That's at Bell Jewelers. They really do make dreams come true. 821 Northwest Broad, across from Toots. Bell Jewelers.
Get more for your money when you play it again. Play it again, sports!
Your fitness headquarters on North Thompson Lane.
WGNS Time Saver Traffic.
Good morning. We have no accidents or incidents in Murfreesboro to report at this time. Some patchy fog still causing visibility problems, especially in the bridges and overpasses, and possible freezing fog because the temperature is rather cold out there. We've got a bit of congestion, O4 Parkway at Chapin Place, O4 Parkway at Cason Lane, I-24 at 96, and Broad at Memorial. Get a $39 introductory massage and Massage Envy today. Holiday gift cards available for that hard to shop for loved one. Massage Envy, Cool Springs, Bellevue, Brentwood, and Green Hills. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
Mainly sunny skies in our forecast for the rest of the day. Today we'll reach high temperatures near 60 this afternoon and expect clear conditions tonight with a low near 36. I'm WGNS meteorologist Sam the Nice to you. Right now, it's 32.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro, and we have hot, delicious Otis Spunkmeyer cookies every day. Come and see us, First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, and home of Otis Spunkmeyer hot, delicious cookies.
Sports the way you like it. Local. All sports talk with Buddy Hill and Tim Tackett. Weekdays at 2 on WGNS. AM, FM, online.
Party is back. call us quickly at 893-1450, 893-1450. We're talking lawns and gardens this morning. That number again, 893-1450. It's 28 degrees outside. Not too conducive for outdoor activities. Not for me, anyway. I don't know if you're a polar bear. Maybe that's one thing. 893-1450. Anthony Tuggle is with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. Any big things? Of course, you've got the Sunday Marketplace every Sunday over at the Ag Center. 1 until 4 on Sunday afternoons. That's really becoming popular.
It is popular. It's been going real well, and people can come out and buy a few cool season vegetables and some crabs and some meats and things like that. So it's been having we've been having a good crowd. It's been going well. So from 1 to 4, so people can come on out through December the 16th. As long as we were on Sunday from December the 16th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to imply that we're open every day out there.
It's just on Sundays. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's go back to the phones. You're on WGNS with Anthony Tuggle. How are you today?
I am doing fine. How are you all doing?
Doing great. Thank you.
I like to oversee my pasture for grazing for cattle. When is the best time to oversee, and what type of would be best to use? I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. What about that overseeding a pasture?
Well, really the most common one, again, is a Kentucky 31 tall fescue. And you would like to do that September, October time frame. You're a little late to do that. But we could talk about some other crops, really kind of like getting more information from them, really, to really facilitate that conversation, because such a large investment. But usually we think about drilling those pastures in September. That's a cool season in September, October, unless he's interested in growing some warm season forages for his livestock. So probably need a little bit deeper conversation to find out where he want to go and how he want to manage that, and when is his fall calving season and a lot of stuff like that. Mm-hmm. To determine a good answer for him. So if he really wants, it'd be great if he can call our office at 898-7710 and ask for me or Mitchell to talk about. Okay. Exactly where you want to go. But yeah.
Now, would that sort of be determined on what he had had in the pasture before? I mean, if he was growing something?
Yeah, it depends. Yeah, you're right, Bart. It depends what was there. If it's currently, I think he said overseed the pasture. So I'm assuming it was he already had some type of forages for his lot cows that, mm-hmm. that are there and not starting completely over. So I would like to talk to him about, he may have some warm season forages out there for his cows already, or then he may want to try to transition over to something else. So really, got a little bit more information before we really can get a good answer to that question. But if he could just call the office at 898-7710 and ask for Mitchell and myself, we'll be glad to talk about some different forages for him.
All righty. And if this is the time of the year, people are always thinking about pruning and pruning trees and shrubs and stuff like that. Is there a chance to learn? I mean, I can really do a lot of damage out there, and I need direction. There may be one or two other people who need some explanation. Is there a way I could learn how to really do a good job of pruning and the trees and shrubs?
Bart, yes, there's a. A brown bag today at our
office. Are you kidding me today?
Yes,
today. My lucky day.
Yes, once you finish, you can go out and prune. What did you prune the plants out front of the Ag Center as well?
Oh, thank you.
We'll give you some hands-on experience.
On-the-job experience.
So you won't be afraid to do yours when you get home. But, at 11:30 today, we do have a brown bag program, and we're going to talk about pruning, because it is a good time to go out and, mm-hmm. and prune some plants. As you mentioned, the weather is cool. Cold, I mean, in some cases, how you want to look
at it. Well, it's going to be up to 60.
It is going to warm up quite a bit, so it is a good opportunity to go out and prune those plants. We're going to talk about pruning, when to prune, how to prune, tools to prune with. Really, the biggest thing about pruning is to have the proper equipment.
I hadn't thought about that, but I guess you could do damage with the wrong equipment, or if your equipment's not sharp and you do, you rip more than you cut.
Yes.
And so sometimes I've had to pull and pull, and you sort of tear the limbs off, and it comes off in shreds, which probably not good.
It's not. We're also going to talk about how to prevent that, especially you pruning some of those big limbs and branches. Typically, it's, by the time you get halfway through the cut, it just rips down and tear the bark off the tree and branch. So we're going to talk about proper way of doing, making those cuts and things like that. So it's a free program, so people can come out from 11:30 until about 12:30, or until we're done. And if you have questions, we can kind of go a little longer, but really.
That's today.
It's today.
11:30 today at the Lane Agri Park, 315 John R. Rice Boulevard. 11:30 today. The reason they call it Brown Bag, you can bring your lunch if you want. Or you can watch other people eat their lunch and listen to your stomach rumble.
That's right.
11:30 today, that is free at the Lane Agri Park. And so that's a really good opportunity. And it's something that people really need to learn more about, how to prune properly. And you mentioned this is a good time to prune. I guess it's probably the best time. I've heard the word "let the sap." Don't prune until the sap runs. How do you know that the sap has run? Is it because the leaves are off the trees, or is there a way to know?
Well, I think a lot there's some certain. I mean, sap moves through tree pretty much year round, really. And usually, when the tree is actively growing, sap have a tendency to move a little. It's moving more in the tree, so I think they're what they're referring to. Usually, this time of year, the tree is in a dormant state, so sap is not moving as readily through the tree, especially the healthy tree there. But so really, we'll be all right. We'll talk a little bit about counting some rules of thumbs. Like typically, plants that flower in the spring, we want to prune them right after flowering time.
Mm-hmm.
And plants that are in majority of the plants that prune. Bloom or flower after the spring, we kind of the rule of thumb is that we'll prune them in the fall of the year. So it would be most of our plants we will think about pruning this time of year.
So now, for people who are wanting to get ready for the coming season, obviously we hope you've put your equipment away, winterized it, cleaned it up, and everything. At this time of the year, is there anything you can be doing, or is everything you're doing need to be inside, house plants and things of that sort?
No, but there are quite a few plants. I mean, we still a good time to go in and plant some plants. The ground is not frozen, and we have people calling in the office a lot that are putting out some plants. And with the drought situation we've had the last, I'm going to say, 4 or 5 years, we've been kind of in a drought situation.
Mm-hmm.
Some drought plants that may have some drought tolerance, some drought attributes, and we recommend some different types of plants for people to plant. And they're pretty common plants, but really we don't think about they are drought resistant and do quite well, like redbud, hickories, hackberry, which they are everywhere, and eastern redbud, some plants we don't see a lot of, but people don't think about a persimmon. So some of those plants we recommend and talking to people about planting in different situations, especially if they're looking plant that has some drought tolerance or can be do quite well in drought situation.
So look at your home landscaping, decide how you want it to look down the road, decide whether you want privacy trees, shade trees, whatever, and same for bushes. And now's the time to begin putting those in.
It is. We're still in a good time to go in and plant some of those. It's a great time, actually. But, with technology of change, we recommend it's the only time to really plant trees and shrubs, but it's still the best. But with the containerized plants, they already kind of got their root ball and everything already established. We can say you can plant those anytime, but we still prefer this time of year, fall, early winter time, the best time for planting.
We were walking along the Greenway the other day, and it was very obvious that some of the trees we passed looked like about half of the tree was dead, and the other half was vibrant and was alive. Is that unusual that you have a tree that part of it looks dead, or is it dead? Is it just I don't guess it'd be dormant. Can part of a tree be dead and part of it alive?
It can. It can be. Typically, think about the. When I think about what you mentioned, I think about part of the tree root system may have been damaged, and that side of the tree that's supporting the live part of the tree can have some damage for the roots. Mm-hmm. And I think about where construction, where equipment is driving on one side of a tree and things like that, or either someone come in and then have dug up and put in a sidewalk or a pavement or something and damage that side of the roots of the zone of the plants, and also it's virtually going to damage that part of the tree. It may probably, depending on how bad the damage, may kill the whole tree over a period of time, but yeah, it is possible.
If you wanted, let's say it's at your house instead of on the greenway, if you cut away the dead part, even if it's a pretty sizable amount of the tree, maybe half of it almost, if you cut away the dead part, would that give an opportunity for the live part to regain its strength?
Probably not.
Okay.
But it's possible, but most likely not.
Would you do the rest of the show? I'm very, very emotional right now.
No, it depends. Right? It depends on the tree, depending on how healthy the healthy part. But usually, if kind of think about it, if a plant is dead, it's not going to come back. So that side of the tree is not going to be resurrected. Right. If I can use that term, talking about a tree, resurrected to come back alive. So really, I know sometimes we can get some if the root zone of that plant is still alive and can generate some new sprouts and things like that, you may get some regeneration or some stuff. But typically, if that side of the plant is dead, then it's probably
dead.
It's dead.
It's dead. Speaking of unfortunate things happening to trees, I'm hearing rumors that this emerald ash borer is in our area. Have you heard that rumor? It's right here on us. I mean, it's not over in the Smoky Mountains anymore.
No, I think there was, if I'm not mistaken, they were found in either Smith or DeKalb County.
Too close.
That's real close.
They touch us.
So
DeKalb does, I believe.
Yeah, so I think they were found in one of those counties. I just can't remember which one, but they were found really, really close to us, and they're going to be continuing to move on in, most likely. Kind of like the Japanese beetle, we heard about them, and they kept hearing about them, They've come.
Anything we can do, because, you know, the white ash trees are prevalent, right? Well, at least right now they're prevalent.
I mean, the biggest thing is really to kind of monitor your plants. I know the TDA, I believe, have these
bags.
I can't think what they're called. Those hormone trail bags to really kind of track and see where they're at, if they're in our area. If anyone's see any cases of them, really kind of report to TDA. They suspect they have them, and most people don't even know what they look like, and they can search them on the website. We do have several publications out that's on our website. They can actually look up to see what they look like, identify. They can bring them by the office if they suspect they have the emerald ash borer. But really, kind of just monitoring all we can do now and not transport firewood. I mean, the biggest thing is from those areas that we know they have.
Well, let's go back to the phones real quick here. You're on WGNS with Anthony. How are you today?
Pretty good. How are you, Bart?
Doing fine, thank you.
I want to ask something. I heard y'all talking about them rotted trees here and there.
Mm-hmm.
I've got one up at another place. It's up at a trailer I got rented, and it's at the bottom part, about 2 foot up, you can see about halfway, all the way through it.
Hmm.
And I've trimmed it up to the top, you know, way on up, and it's green up there, but it's dead at the bottom.
Say that again.
It's about halfway through, and you can see it's a good place for ants to raise, you know.
Yeah.
And they done eat it up or something. So I'm thinking about cutting it because I'm afraid it's going to fall.
Well, what about that? But it's dead on the bottom part, right?
It's just dead on the bottom, about 2-3 foot up. And it's done rotted all the way in. I'm afraid it's going to blow over or something. So I cut the limbs off high as I could reach, and I'm thinking about cutting it down.
Yeah, there may be a tree that you probably want to go ahead and remove, especially if the lower part is damaged. You really want to go ahead and just go ahead and remove it out.
But the top part is green, like a Christmas tree. I mean, mm-hmm. It's pretty. It got them sprouts on it and everything.
Well, you need to get the strength from the bottom. I mean, that's going to eventually, that's what holds up the top.
It's going to pretty much decay.
If it keeps rotting it all the way to them, it's going to get all the way through and fall.
It very well could, and especially if is it close to your house or something?
Yeah, it's close to the trailer, yeah. It's
so it could fall on
right
that.
It's right there, right by the trailer.
Well, that's one of those preventive measures, I think. You'd be wise to do something about that.
It's half alive and half dead, I guess.
The bad thing is the dead part's on the bottom.
Okay, I'm enjoying the show.
Thank
Good
you. You have a great
Take
day.
Take care, Anna. Bye.
I remember when I was a kid, he described almost that tree. Funny how you rush back to your childhood memories. There was an old tree on a creek where my cousin lived, and it was a big tree. I mean, that base of the tree probably was 10 feet, 15 feet wide. Big tree. And it was pretty well hollow. It was so hollow that you could get in there. And a 10 or 12-year-old kid like I was then, that was the most exciting place. We'd get in the tree. We put little, planks to the wall of the tree to make us a ladder to get up, and we'd climb up, and there was an opening maybe 10 feet up where you'd look out onto the creek and everything. And the tree was alive from that point on up. I mean, the hollowness stopped about 10 or 15 feet up, but it was a wonderful tree, and it was pretty much like what he was describing, maybe a little bit bigger, but it was, I guess if it was hollow in the bottom part, would that mean the bottom part was dead?
Not necessarily. What happens when a tree get damaged, or we prune a tree or plant, especially trees particularly, they kind of hollow themselves off, cut off different things, and channel the nutrient to other part of the tree. That process called compartmentalization. So they compartmentalize different part of the tree. That's the decay part, and so they really have the decay part have a tendency to rot out and decay. And the other part that around the tree then can survive, and so can survive nutrients. So it really, because the hollow note doesn't mean it really is dead.
Mm-hmm.
That part just have the tree actually is, it's kind of a mechanism in the tree that it's kind of hollow, compartmentalize the damage or the injury to the plant, and starting to move on with the plant. So it's kind of really kind of tricky, really.
Yeah.
But a tree have a natural mechanism called compartmentalization, and they really cut off that damaged part of the plant and move on and become and channel the nutrients around certain damaged areas. And that will happen when we actually prune plants. That's why we like to prune plants a certain way. And so you won't make that area so large where the plant can't go through that compartmentalization process.
So this man's tree might be alive.
It may be just compartmentalized that section of that plant off because it was damaged at some point and hollowed out.
How could he find out for sure before he makes a drastic move of taking it down?
The best way is really any kind of major issues like that. The experts would be certified arborists. He can go to the ISA website and locate some certified arborists in our county. And we have quite a few that work for different tree companies. So I really want to contact those folks. And that's a bring up a good question. Anytime you're having work done on some tree, whether it's pruning or anything else, I would really make sure that person is a certified arborist because they went through some extensive professional training to know all about trees. And a lot of times people come to us and we get them a recommendation. We also tell them, you know, certified arborists is the experts. We really want to contact them and they can really.
Do you have a list of certified arborists here?
We do not have a list in our office. We normally tell folks go to the website. We may need to create one and so we can have it handy. But if they need one, we can help them locate one.
All righty. 893-1450 is our number. We're talking with Anthony Tuggle this morning with the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. We're going to pause and check on that weather. We'll be right back. Remember, tomorrow, Friday, is the last day to enter the Christmas parade.
Don't you know I can take it? Do, 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 do. I don't know who can. Do, 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 do. I'm not gonna make it. Do, do, do. I'm not that kind of man. Oh, don't you know I can't sleep at night? Just the same.
There is an underground civilization underneath of the North American continent.
It's Coast to Coast AM.
Overnight, every night. On WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Does your home have foundation problems? Bricks cracking, doors sticking, basement walls bowing, floors uneven, or water problems? Where do you turn? What name do you know and trust? Call United Structural Systems at 227-2275. For over 17 years, United Structural Systems has stabilized, restored, and guaranteed over 5,800 homes and businesses in Middle Tennessee. We know that you, like our customers, want a restored home, a lifetime guarantee, and the peace of mind that United Structural Systems, a locally owned company, will be here for you. Call United Structural Systems today at 227-2275 or visit them on the web at usstn.com. United Structural Systems, known best for being better.
We'll guarantee our best. Call USS.
Mainly sunny skies in our forecast for the rest of the day. Today we'll reach high temperatures near 60 this afternoon and expect clear conditions tonight with a low near 36. I'm WGNS meteorologist Sandra Nyski. Right now it's 32.
Now's the time to spruce up your home before friends start arriving for the holidays. The place to start is Bell Furniture. My buddy Perry Bell over there sells first quality name brand furniture about half price every day. Beautiful Serta sectional sofas. Cherry dinette sets with four chairs. Half price every day with Perry Bell at Bell Furniture. 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
Now more than ever, start your mornings with WGNS. The Morning News with Scott Walker. Weekday mornings, 6:30 to 7:50 on WGNS. AM, FM, online.
The party continues. 893-1450. Anthony Tuggle is with us this morning from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. Our connect line is 893-1450, 893-1450. That's the number to link in on if you have a question about lawns and gardens or hollow trees or roses. We still haven't heard any more about whether you feel the white roses and pink roses or yellow roses are hardier than the red roses. Now, are all the yellow roses of Texas?
I don't think
you don't remember that song,
no.
Do you? And when I said that, I knew Anthony is too young to remember the yellow rose of Texas.
So I had that look on my face. Huh?
I thought maybe that was why they wrote the song, you know. Maybe it was a hardier plant or something. I don't know. 893-1450 earlier in the show, if you just tuned in, we had somebody who called and said they had had better luck with the yellow roses and the white roses than they had had with the red roses. And had Anthony heard anything about one being stronger than the other? I don't know. We didn't have an answer on that. You're on WGNS with Anthony. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Marty. I just couldn't help but call in on that yellow rose.
Okay. You heard that song there.
I apologize, but I think Anthony needs to know the truth on that one. The yellow rose of Texas was a girl who helped the Alamo defendants. She seduced the head Mexican leader and got him drunk the night before the so-called final attack. And she was the yellow rose of Texas because of what she did to help our men.
Oh, that I didn't know that, Marty.
Well, that's the reason you need to talk to me more often.
Thank you for sharing that.
But, yeah, that's one of my favorite stories. And again, that's the reason they wrote the song about her, to celebrate her her braveness.
All right. Well, fantastic. Learn something new every time. So she was the Yellow Rose of Texas. It was a girl.
It was a girl, and that was her nickname.
Oh, fantastic. And so that goes back to the days of the Alamo.
That is correct. She was a spy of sorts.
And so then it sort of ties in with Tennessee history, too, with Davy Crockett.
That is exactly right, because Tennessee played a very important part of the Alamo stage.
Oh, wow.
We had a lot of representatives from Tennessee, and of course, you know, that's where the name the Volunteer State came from, is because of our contribution to the defending of the Alamo.
Very good. Marty, thank you for calling.
Always a pleasure. I love your show.
Thank you.
And if I ever find her, we never move apart. She's the sweetest little rosebud that Texas ever knew. Her eyes are bright as diamonds. They sparkle like the dew. You may talk about your Clementine and sing of Rosalie, but the yellow rose of Texas is the only girl for me.
Do you remember it now? Have you heard, you've never heard that song?
I'm reading the lyrics online.
But you've never heard the song
no.
before? That is youth, gang. That is youth. Oh, man. We're about out of time. This has been a fun show today. Before we leave, I do want to remind everybody that tomorrow is the last day to enter the Christmas parade. We still have people saying, well, when do we enter the parade? And I'll say, well, you know, it's almost here. It's the deadline's tomorrow. And if you don't have an entry form, you can get one on our website. That's the easiest place, WGNSradio.com. Tomorrow's the deadline. And if you're looking for something to do today, Anthony has something at 11:30. What is that again?
Bart, we have our brown bag program. We're talking about pruning trees and shrubs. So it's a free program. So come on out and learn about pruning.
Sounds like a winner to me. And that's at 9:30. 11:30. 11:30. Yeah. We're about to get them there early.
Yeah, real early.
Before Anthony gets back. 11:30 this morning, bring your brown bag. And that's at the Lane Agri Park. And on Sunday from 1 to 4, what is it?
The Farmer's Market, so they can come out and get some meats, some vegetables, some crafts, and things of that nature. So just come on out.
Sounds like a winner to me. Have a super day. Anthony Tuggle visiting with us. Truman is next right after the news. Keep that smile on your face.
Oh.